Alright, let's see. We are going to continue in the book of Ephesians, and today we are going to continue on Ephesians chapter 4. Just only one verse and probably half of it today, as I thought of going a little faster, but you know, I can't because of the time limitation. As you know, it's amazing when I was in the Philippines, when a pastor tells you, okay, Pastor Nick, it's your turn to preach. Usually I ask, how long? Doesn't matter. It's up to you. As long as you want to. So it's very different over there. And so anyway, let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to continue on verse 11 today. And remember last time we saw on verse 10 how it's the Lord, you know, Lord is the one who has given these gifts, and he went to the lower parts of the earth. We saw that, and he's the one who ascended. He who descended is also the one who did ascended far above all the heavens that he might fulfill all things. Then verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And I'm going to take each one and go through a little bit. But before we see that, I want to show you there's a fundamental difference between the church and all the other worldly organizations. All the other worldly organizations depends, like for instance, if you want to get a job, depends upon your education, your skill, and your experience. And you've got to learn, you have to have a skill to get a good job. You've got to go to school. And so our worldly organizations are equipped by your experience, your performance, your skills, and your educations, and you know, and so they perform according to everything is done by profit. And if the worldly organization is equipped really good, you know, you make a profit and get a salary at the end of the month. Now, when it comes to equipping the church, it is different. It says here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. Here we see that it was the Lord Jesus who chose, he's the one who chose to give gifts to the ministry. And he specifically chose people sometimes without education. And all of us, we had no education of God when he came to. God did not look to us and say, let me choose a certain person as a pastor because that person has a good education, that person knows me, and that person is a good person, because God is not, he did not select us because of our goodness. When we go to a job, the first thing they will say is, they will ask you for your qualifications, you know, your resume, and so forth like that, your character. They look everything to see how good you are. And according to your goodness, according to your performance, according to your ability, you get a job. But God doesn't work that way. We didn't have any goodness to get anything. We were at enmity with God. We were haters of God. We were lost in darkness on our way to hell. He chose us and brought us from the pit of hell to the marvelous light of Christ. And he changed our hearts and filled us with the Holy Spirit. And now, and we were able to understand the Word of God. And also then he appointed us and gave them different ministries of the church, different ministries in the church. So all the glory goes to God, not nothing that we had in ourselves. Now, some of the greatest men of God, they never went to a university or a seminary. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Matthew 4:18, "You, everything comes from God here, even the gifts, and He's the one who appoints." Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus said, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said, verse 19, then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Now, we heard this before, but read very carefully. He says here, he said, "I will make you fishers of men." You cannot make yourself. You cannot learn by education. You cannot do this by even going to a seminary or going to college or doing anything or praying five times a day or fasting. Jesus said, "I will make you a fishers of men." And here, so there are so many people. Look, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled." Now, they were uneducated, meaning they didn't go to, I don't know whether they went to high school or what. They were uneducated. They did not have a basic education. And they were untrained, meaning they were not skilled at all. But they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. He's the one who makes a person to do anything, to do even, you know, it says here, he's the one who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers, evangelists, and so forth like that. He's the one who gives the gifts. He's the one who will make you. And you cannot do anything, got to be with Jesus. And they were with Jesus. And Jesus is the one who will do the making. Now, John Bunyan, he never went to college, just learned the basics of reading and writing. And he said, I quote, "I never went to school to Plato or Aristotle." In modern language, in modern terms, what he's saying here, he never went to college. But just imagine, the books in the Pilgrim's Progress is next to the Bible, the fastest selling book in the world. Charles Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers, never went to a university. But how is it that men who had never had such a great education were able to write some of the best written books and sermons and articles? Today we find ministers, evangelists, and pastors who are so rich, living in luxury and great comforts. But Apostle Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give unto you. As the treasure, the Master himself gave these gifts, and it was the Holy Spirit that taught them." The best educated apostle was Apostle John. He was the only good, educated person that the Lord selected. All the balance, they were all fishermen. They were very poor people. God showed that His grace, His power, that God can use anybody He wants to and make them a great person, and all the glory goes to God. Now even Apostle Paul, on the other hand, he was the most educated person. He went to the best teacher, and he knew it all. He was a religious man. Yet, Apostle Paul said, Romans chapter 7, 18, he said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwell no good thing." After knowing all these things, after going to the best of education, after going to the best teacher, he realized once he was a Christian, once he got to know Jesus, I know that in me, there's nothing good in me. Absolutely nothing. Now this is the best educated apostle telling. And Apostle Paul also said in another scripture, "My message and preaching were not with persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power." Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying universities and seminaries are bad. I'm not saying education is bad. Education was intended to be an aid to the preaching of the gospel. But education today is sad to say in many cases, today you go to a university, the professors in the university, they come against the Bible. They come against the Word of God. And many children have been brainwashed as their intention is to erase the gospel, erase God, take God away and introduce humanism. At the same time, there are people who come also here, we need to understand, some people come with some wild doctrines. And they say, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know, I don't have to go to a seminary. I don't have to go to college. I don't have to do anything. I can learn on my own and the Holy Spirit will teach me." And these are two extremes, you know, we got to see here. Alright? So you've got to be very careful here. "And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit told me to do this. Holy Spirit told me to do that. And God, I talked to God," and so forth like that. And we need to test them if they are not telling the truth or not by the Word of God. And many are persuaded into emotional, sensational preaching than what is in the Word of God. Now, personally, I myself had not been to a seminary. I praise God that I learned everything from the Bible, and from the Bible, and what God has given me the gift to teach and to learn, and basically a lot of good teaching. And I go to a lot of good teaching, like the Puritans, the Reformers, and you know, basically getting into the Word of God. And you have to have, you know, once you know the truth, you know you cannot get away, wiggle about it, you know. You know you got to stay there. And there are so many times temptations to go over the boundary. There are a lot of times temptations because this going a little bit over the limit is very tempting because you can get into the flesh. And there are so many temptations that come even personally to me. But I have to be careful that I will not go to the left nor to the right, but just stick to the pure Word of God. Because I'm not pleasing you. God, we have to please God. Okay, so we have to be very careful. Now let's get into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. How many of you have Old King James? In the Old King James, there's a small but a serious error here. It involves of a comma. Let us see verse 11. I'm going to read the King James version, Ephesians 4:11. This is what it says. "And he gave some, apostles, and some, prophets, and some, evangelists, and some, pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, verse 12, this is the problem. Then it says here, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, after, for the perfecting of the saints, there is a comma. But probably not in your Bibles. Right? You don't have one, right? New King James, New American Standard, they don't have it. But the old King James will have it after the perfecting of the saints. Now, James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary on the book of Ephesians, he writes the following. In this version of the text, God is said to have given the teaching gifts which we normally associate with ministers, so that the ministers may do three things. Perfecting of the saints, to do the ministry, edify and build up the body. So here, verse 11 says here, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So the pastors and teachers are given for the perfecting of the saints. Then, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. So this all goes to pastors and the teachers. That little comma made a big difference there. So here, but the translation was wrong. Armitage Robinson was probably the first commentator to notice it and insist it was a mistake. He argued, and virtually all commentators since have agreed with him, that the comma should be eliminated. Without the comma, so after that, all the commentators agreed with me, and it was eliminated. And in your Bibles, if you have a modern version, there is no comma. And it says, now I'm going to read the New King James Version, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, there is no comma, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The New American Standard says, and he gave some apostles and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, no comma, for the work of service to building up the body of Christ. Now, let's go on here. Now, the first thing we had to understand is God is the one who gives the gifts. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Daniel 2:21. Daniel 2:21. Now here we see how God gave Daniel the gift of interpretation of the dreams. And here we see that King Nebuchadnezzar, found out if Daniel was able to interpret dreams, Daniel gave all the praise and the glory to God. Now verse 20 says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things, and he knows what is in the darkness and light and dwells with him. So everything comes from God. Now also, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. It's not our own will, according to his own will. Now, let's keep reading. So verse 11 says, he himself gave some to be apostles. There are churches today that they teach there are apostles living today. So So there are some churches teach that there are apostles that live in today. Now, what is the meaning of the apostle? The meaning of the apostle in Greek is apostolos. Literally, it means send forth. That's what it means. In a literal way, if you take it, it means send forth. The Greek word apo means forth, and the Greek word stelo means to send. Now, Christ, again, I want to show you, it is apostle, Peter and John and James, they were not looking for the apostleship. You know, when they were 13, 14 years old, if somebody asked them, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be an apostle. No. They were just fishermen, okay? They were poor people. But here, if you go to Luke chapter 6, verse 13, we see that it is Jesus who chose them. Luke chapter 6, 13. When it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So it was Jesus who chose them. Now, what about somebody might say, well, what about Apostle Paul then? You know, what about him? Well, you can turn with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 9, verse 3. And it says here, as he journeyed, this is Apostle Paul, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he's trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Here, Jesus, the Lord, elected Apostle Paul. The other thing is, one of the criteria of an apostle is, the apostles, they have seen the Lord and his resurrection. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. There are a lot of scriptures. I'm going to go just the basic here. Acts 4, 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Now also, what about Apostle Paul? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 9, 2. Paul, starting from verse 1, says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are you not at my work in the Lord? Here, apostle, he's saying, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus Christ? So this is one of the criteria that you have to see Jesus. Apostle Paul has seen Jesus. Then he says, here, verse 2, am I not an apostle to the others? Yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So here, Apostle Paul here has seen the Lord Jesus. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. For brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that I have also have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he has seen by Cephas and by the 12. And that he has seen by over 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain in the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. See, all the apostles, they have seen Jesus and His resurrection. That's one of the criteria. So if somebody tells you, in our church, we have apostles, ask them whether they have seen Jesus after the resurrection. And the other thing is, apostles were fallibly guided by the Holy Spirit. That means exactly the Holy Spirit speaks to them and they go, they don't do anything wrong. That's what I mean fallibly. Okay? They don't make mistakes. They had the power to work miracles, and it was confirmed by the doctrine they preach. Now today, we don't see this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, we see this. Apostles, they did great miracles. Alright? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says here, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished by you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Today, we don't see people doing signs and wonders except the false prophets will just blow and they will fall back, and that is not in Scripture. All right. Now, also Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Wonders and signs. And you will see these gifts did not happen after the apostles. Okay? So, there are a lot of churches teach that the gifts are still the same. That's another subject. But I personally don't believe it. And here, they were not limited to one place. And also, the apostles, they were not limited to one place. They were not localized. Unlike a pastor, we are going to get into that later. Apostles were not limited to one place, but they had the authority to go everywhere to preach the gospel and plant churches anywhere they were given the authority to go. So although the apostles were before Christ, they were with Christ. When they were with Christ, they didn't have the fullness of the Spirit. Remember Jesus said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if I go away, I will send you the Spirit. If I don't go away, you will not have the Comforter. It is better for me to go away so that you will have the Spirit. In Acts chapter, in the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon them. So they were, after the Spirit came upon them, they were filled with the Spirit. And now, the other thing is, so they were able to do mighty miracles, mighty deeds. They had a lot of boldness. And the other thing is, in the Bible, the church is compared to a building. And the cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the foundation of the church are the apostles and the prophets. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2:19. No longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. Now, when there is a building already, we cannot build another foundation. Because the foundation has already been laid, and there's a building on it. So we cannot make another foundation on a building. Unless you totally destroy the whole building and the foundation. You cannot do that. So how can some people say in different churches there are apostles today? That's why we need to get into the Word of God and expose the Scriptures. And it's so important to say, so Apostle Paul, so a lot of scriptures say that he was an apostle. And also Apostle Peter. We go to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2. 2 Peter 3 2. Peter 3 2. Peter says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So here Peter puts the same elaboration here. He also gives the same meaning here, that of the apostles, the word of the apostles, the teachings of the apostles is true. It is from God. So it's so important to understand that we praise God. That's why even the look at the New Testament what we have today. Alright? After, there are a lot of books written. How come we have, you know, who made this Bible and so forth like that? How come this Bible got together? Who made the decision that we have to have these books in the New Testament? You know, and these are so important, good questions to ask. And also, if you look, there are a lot of people who wrote epistles, you know, during the time of the apostles. How come they were not put in? How come only these books are written? Because one of the criteria was that you had to be with Jesus. Okay? You had to have seen Jesus. So these are the criteria that was there. But how about Mark? Because Mark was written, because Mark was with Peter. So these are the most important issues that it comes, even putting up the Bible together, a person who has been with Jesus. So that's why this is literally the Word of God. Now, let's go to Ephesians again, chapter 4, verse 11 again. And so we saw the word apostle here very clearly, what that means and how important it is, the words of the apostles. And we had the word of God today, the New Testament. Then it says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets. The Greek word prophetia signifies the speaking forth the mind and the counsel of God. It is somebody who is telling the will of God to the people. Whether it's reference to the past, present, or the future. The ministry of the prophet, now there are two words here, meanings here, okay? I want to tell you that. One meaning is that a prophet is to teach and exhort the church. Now the teaching the word of God to the people is clearly an understanding, so if people can understand, that is the work of a prophet. That means a teacher can be like a prophet. Okay? If you see 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 and 3, Apostle Paul said, remember, for that he speak with an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understand him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries, but he that prophesies speak unto men to edification and to exhortation and comfort. Paul says, if somebody comes and speaks in a tongue, nobody understands. But the prophecy is better, meaning that they speak simple, plain language in a sense that people can understand. In today's era, they speak English. So you will understand. Okay, if I keep on babbling here to you, you know, you may think, wow, this is really mighty work of God, but do you understand what I'm talking? Okay, so that's one kind of prophecy, okay, a prophet over here. But here in the Ephesians, over here in context, he's not speaking one who teach. Not the ordinary ministers in the church, but the ones who had the ability to tell the future. Meaning, thus says the Lord, and tells you what is going to happen. I cannot say that. Woe unto me if I say that. I can say only the past, thus said the Lord. Alright, now 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. 2 Peter 1:21. Apostle Peter said, "For prophecy never came by the will of man." Now what did I say? The prophet's ministry is to proclaim the will of God, not his will. Not his will, but the will of God. Now that's not a very comfortable position, because you're always telling the opposite will, what you like to hear. So that's why the prophets were stoned. They were killed and murdered because they told the will of God contrary to a lot of our wills. So that's why prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Majority of the churches today, people get so excited when they talk about prophecy. Prophecy seminar. Prophecies, you know, this is a subject that people get so excited. People get so excited when somebody is going through the book of Revelation, book of Daniel. The churches are packed. There are so many prophecy gurus who are making a lot of money, trying to predict the future. They are getting rich, as many ignorant, gullible people buy their stuff. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 said, 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." Now this was during the apostles' time. How much more today? How much more today? When the truth prophet speaks of God, he says, "Thus says the Lord." In 1 Kings chapter 20 verse 13, if you turn with me to 1 Kings, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And here you will see every lot of places in the Bible, you will see, "Thus says the Lord." Were there prophets, you know, what about the, were there prophets in the New Testament times too? Oh, were the New Testament prophets, were they different than the Old Testament prophets? You know, of course, there were prophets in the New Testament times. I'm going to give you an example in Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And they were not different than the Old Testament prophets. They were able to tell the future. Acts chapter 11, 27. "These days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar." So it happened. So Agabus was a prophet. And also Acts chapter 21 verse 10. Acts 21 verse 10. "As we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.'" So we see Agabus was a true prophet of God, okay? And now how to test a prophet to see whether he is from God or not? How to test a prophet? Need to memorize this scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 21. It says here, "And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" How do we know if somebody speaks and says, "Thus says the Lord, this is going to happen," how do you know if it's from God or not? Then he says, verse 21, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, so you shall not be afraid of him." Well, look at the Jehovah's Witnesses. They gave so many times they predicted that Jesus was going to come on such and such an year and so forth like that. And he didn't come. According to the scripture, they are false prophets. Even Seventh-day Adventists, they did that too at the very beginning. And there are so many denominations that are cults who are into, they predict. You know, it's so easy. It's so, the flesh gets so excited to say the Lord is coming. And how many times even the year 2000 was coming, so many people, there are a lot of prophecy gurus came and said, "This is the end of the world. And he's coming." And so many people even give dates and saying he has to come before this year and so forth like that. How many times I heard that we are living, you know, the 40 years or whatever like that, that kind of a prophecy thing here, and we are in the last generation of the 40 years. Because Israel became an independent nation, I believe in 1948 or whatever like that, and then 40 years becomes a generation, so Lord has to come in 1998 or before the year 2000. Well, and these are all comes from people's imaginations. But people soon forget that. After that, they forget that it was a false prophecy, and they still listen to those people. And that is the sad part. So are there any prophets today who can tell the future? Of course, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, we saw that Ephesians 2:19, that on the build, the foundation, the doctrine is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You cannot build another foundation, Ephesians 2:19 and 20. "Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and on the household of God, and are built, we are built on the foundation and the prophets." So there cannot be another foundation. Also, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1:1. This is really important. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets." And then verse 2 says, "has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also had made the world." Now, God in those old days has spoken to the people through the prophets. Now let me ask you a question. Did everybody have a Bible during that time? They depended on the prophet. Nobody carried Bibles like today we have. They depended for them to hear the word of God, for them to know that this is the word of God that is God. It has to come from the prophet. That's all. Now, let's go a little even beyond. Okay? What about Abraham? God spoke to him directly. You know why? Abraham never had a Bible. Never had even a prophet before that can talk to Abraham. God elected Abraham, so God talked to Abraham directly. How about us today?
Hey, we got the whole counsel of God here.
Here it is. While I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. It has been once for all delivered, past tense, full stop, that's it. You don't have to add anything more. Now, of course, there are so many false apostles and there are false prophets. And you can see a lot of false prophets today who are predicting, who are trying to get money and so forth like that. And also, there are false apostles. Even during the time of Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So Paul says, let's start from verse 12. But what I do, I will continue to do so that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to regard that just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. So here we see, therefore it is no great thing of his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. There are people who Satan comes as an angel of light. And also turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 verse 8. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we, put a underline the word we, that means what we have preached you, let him be accursed. This gospel is being given only by the apostles, the prophets, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Any other gospel is a false gospel other than what we have preached. And let him be accursed. And so we need to be careful. And that's why, beloved, that we need to stand so firm on the word of God alone. And we are going to continue on this next week and talking about evangelists and teachers and so forth like that, and really get a good perspective on this, because there can be so much, you know, so much wrong motives. Satan is so deceitful. Deceitful means they can trick you. Now the thing what I see here is, when I go through this here, you know what? How come that so many people are deceived? So many people are deceived into wrong doctrine. Because as we saw, even Satan comes as an angel of light. And even he can transform those people into ministers of righteousness. You know, that means works-based thing. But not really from God. I'll tell you, if not for the grace of God, I would have been deceived too. And if not for the grace of God, you would have been deceived too. Right? It's because so easy to be deceived. If not for the grace of God, we would have all been deceived. And we praise God that He has kept us. Because that's the true gospel, is Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep, that's the true church, will hear His voice. And you can see this very clearly in John chapter 10. I'll go a little bit. I'm going to continue this next week. This time is running fast. John chapter 10. 9 verse 8 says, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. That means there are a lot of false teachers, false prophets came before Jesus Christ, and they were thieves and robbers, and the true church did not hear him. Then, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Have come that they may have life and that they may have it more. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not his own sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And here Jesus goes on to say in this whole thing here to see that he is the good shepherd. He is the one who died for us. He is the one who sacrificed for our sins, and he is the only way. And that's why that we need to stick totally to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he says and what the prophets have said in the Old Testament and what the apostles have said today. Apostles have said during the time of Jesus. Alright? So important that we need to stick to that. And so this is what is called sound doctrine. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that this time is so much limited, Lord, but so much to say. We again thank you, Lord, for such a short time that we can get so much out of the Word of God. And we pray and ask, Lord, that as a church here, that we will not be deceived, Lord, by any false doctrines. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, God, that you have given us the Word of God, and that we can stand on the Word of God alone. Even if it sounds so good, the false doctrines to our flesh, but we will not hear it, Lord. Thank you for the grace that you have given us, that we will know what is good and what is not good. So fill us with the power of your Spirit, Lord. And Lord God Almighty, that we pray, Lord, that you will continually bless this ministry, that we would preach nothing but the Word of God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.